much change. The rhetoric they speak is all the same. The men behind the curtain and the illusion they create pull the puppet strings and seal our fate. Watch yourself around me. I'm trying to live free. Push too far, we will strike. Like a snake coiled up in the night. Watch yourself around me. I'm trying to live free. Push too far, we will strike. Where the power structure lies, fight amongst ourselves as freedom dies. The only hope for humankind lies in solidarity. The strength in our numbers sets us free. Watch yourself around me. I'm trying to live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, jackbooted thugs and patriots alike. It is again that time of night, that time of week. I think every time we come to the airwaves, we're doing an unauthorized organization because they don't want us gathering together with the large audiences that we have listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, listening to the show on Snitcher, and listening to the show on iTunes. You are listening to the TNT Radio Show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network. Got a little tangled up in some wires there as we're sitting down to the desk. Today is, believe it or not, Thursday, January the 30th, 2014. And again, if you want to call in, we'll put the show numbers out there at the beginning. It flies by. If you're already one of those people on the line and you want to get on the air, just press the one key. If you don't, that's okay. We don't want to pry. We're not the NSA. We're not the TSA. We're not the IRS or the CIA. If you want to just sit there and listen to the show, we're fine with that. If you haven't called in yet and you'd like to call in to listen or talk, call us at 858-683-1326. Now, to the crux of the matter, we talked a little bit last night on the Ed Springsteen show about how the filing deadline had just passed in our local and state and federal elections in Kentucky and Louisville and the surrounding areas. And looking at the Liberty calendar, I hate to think nothing really happened this week in history, but there's not a lot on the Liberty calendar. We are coming up on the 64th anniversary this weekend of when Senator Joseph McCarthy revealed the truth about communists in the State Department. And, of course, we have now come up on 101 years since the illegally imposed unauthorized 16th Amendment for the federal income tax came down. So that's kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly for this week in history. Now, continuing what we were talking about last night with Mr. Springsteen, I was very upset in a city as large as Louisville, Kentucky, that more people did not file to run for different offices. And what am I talking about? Well, you know, people say, why don't you guys run? Well, number one, I'm too honest to get elected. And again, it's not my thing. I'm like Ed Springsteen. I'm here being an information provider. We're coming to the airwaves here with information they don't want us to get out, with authorized meetings, if you will. But the problem I have is if you look out there just here in our city government, and I know that some of you all are in Louisville and some of you aren't even in Kentucky, so I ask you to humor me here as I talk to you what's going on. But the problem we have here in city government is we have a lot of elected officials, a lot of elected offices that people don't take seriously, or I guess they just take them for granted, or apathy or ignorance sets in. And I'm looking here at the seats that are going to be on the ballot, and as Ed and I discussed last night, I know some of y'all listen to both shows, and that's great. You get a little bit of a quick cover-up. You're a catch-up on what's going on. But as we mentioned last night, we were very happy to see that there are contested races in just about, you know, we don't like all the candidates. That's another story. You can't always get what we want. But there are contested races in most of the 12, 13, 14. There are 14 of the Metro Council races. I'm sorry, I'm just looking over here. I'm a little off kilter tonight. But most of the Metro Council races, there are primaries and or general elections. We got a couple that I don't know how or why or where the logic was, and nobody ran against these people. But for most of these races, they have challengers. Now, what really pisses me off, as we look at some of the races here in Louisville, where nobody filed to run against the incumbent. And I'm talking about a sheriff's position. People don't talk too much about the sheriff, and I guess they don't think it's that much of an important position. But the truth is, if you go look it up, as I alluded to a little bit last night on the Ed Springsteen show, the sheriff's office is one of the oldest and most constitutionally necessary offices that there is. And people will say, well, the sheriff's not listed in the federal constitution. Here's the thing about that. You need to have the sworn protection of liberty within your county sheriff's office. That 10th Amendment should matter. That 10th Amendment should allow the sheriff to walk tall and defend their citizens from all enemies of the Constitution, yes, both foreign and domestic. As the Campaign for Liberty says, it's time to defend our citizens from all enemies of the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, Americans are facing the stark reality that the constitutional rights are being shredded. Nearly every action taken by the federal government violates the Constitution that sheriffs and the military have once taken oath to defend. The sheriff is the truly last hope, my friends, for saving our constitutional republic. Thomas Jefferson wrote in, quote, The Value of Constitutions, that there is no honorable law enforcement authority in Anglo-American law so ancient as that of the county sheriff, whose role as a peace officer goes back at least to the time of Alfred the Great. And he's right, of course. The office of sheriff has existed for a few thousand years, and it's the oldest law enforcement position in most parts of the world, and especially in the United States. The word sheriff, if you look it up, folks, is a derivative from the Shire Reeve, who was the most powerful English law authority figure. The Shire Reeve became the sheriff, and throughout history, it was recognized as the chief law enforcement officer of the land. Whether it was a shire or a county, this gentleman, it could be a she, but he, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, it was mostly men back then. This gentleman was responsible for maintaining law and order and being an officer of the peace. You don't really hear about a lot of peace officers anymore, do you? You hear about law enforcement officials. You don't hear about peace officers. But the county sheriff is elected for, by, and of the people. And it is our last line of defense against an oppressive and overreaching government tyranny. The sheriffs are powerful executors of the law. And the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. If you go back to the 1770s, Edmund Burke said, quote, bad laws are the worst form of tyranny. It's kind of like free speech laws. You always hear about, oh, should this be protected free speech? Should this or that be allowed because it's offensive? But these laws weren't meant to protect things that people liked. They were meant to protect speeches that you may not like. And to carry that back over to liberty in our United States today, the sheriff, just like the founding fathers, understood that liberty was our most important asset to defend. Samuel Adams said, the liberties of our country, the freedom of our civil constitution, are worth defending against all hazards. It is our duty to defend them against all attacks. Now, the New American Magazine had a very good article last year that talked about sheriffs opposing encroachment of federal agents into the jurisdictions. We had a few examples of this here in the United States and also in Kentucky recently, where sheriffs have basically stood up against the federal Gestapo. There are now dozens of sheriffs and candidates for sheriff nationwide. There's that key word, candidates for sheriff nationwide, who share our view on state government and the constitutional importance of local police power. These lawmen read the Constitution and nowhere in it do they find authorization for the federalization of law enforcement. In fact, they argue, rightfully so, I would say, that the Constitution's federal system endows local police with greater authority than any federal agent when it comes to enforcing laws. So in other words, it's not like they want you to think it is, where federal is more important than state, is more important than local. It's supposed to be the opposite way. It's supposed to mean that we are the ones who are going to stand up against the government here locally. It's despicable, to say the least. It's ridiculous how we send all this money up to Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, and then, of course, they send it to other countries. And we can't take care of our own people here. We need to seriously restructure our priorities. It absolutely makes me sick. But, again, nobody here in Louisville, Kentucky, close to a million people, if you were to include the surrounding bedroom communities, 700,000, 800,000 people at last guess, nobody filed to run against the incumbent sheriff. And I'm not even telling you that he's a bad guy. We have an incumbent sheriff here locally. He's been in there for a while. He's not one of those politicians who likes to get in there and stay there. And you haven't heard me tell you anything bad that he's done. It's just that you're going to tell me that nobody from the other party, he's a Democrat, so you're going to tell me nobody from the Republican Party wanted to run against him, and that nobody was unhappy with him in his own party to run against him. And that's just kind of hard for me to believe. Kind of hard to believe that many people are happy with one guy doing his job. So that's the power of the local sheriff, and fortunately nobody ran against him. So I'll quit harking on that, but it was disappointing to see a lot of these offices, like county attorney. I was very happy to see at least one person filed to run in our primary here locally against our county attorney, who's a Democrat, of course. And it's funny because now I'm looking at our county clerk's website, and they don't even entertain the thought of an independent who would have until April, I believe, to file for office, or a write-in who would have until August, I believe, to file for office. They don't even entertain the thought that one of those could file against these sitting officers because they just took them off the page. There's a PDF document here with all the candidate filings. And I'm looking at it right now. This is updated as of 4:12 p.m. today. And they just totally took the office of sheriff off the list. They totally took the office of sheriff off the list as to say, well, he's coronated, he's reelected. It doesn't work like that. Yes, it's true that the numbers would totally be stacked against somebody running as an independent, as a write-in, or even as a Republican. But I really don't get the purpose of, it's a PDF document. We're not wasting actual paper. We're not killing any trees. So I really don't understand why our county clerk's office totally took it off the listings. But again, I mentioned this last night. Remember, your county clerk is also up for reelection, and she gained one Democrat opponent, and she did not gain any other Republican opponents. So that being said, I'm glad I write down some of this stuff before they decide to delete and remove things that they don't think it's important for us to see online. But a couple of days before the filing deadline, you couldn't even get on the county clerk's webpage. It was totally shut down. Now, since we do talk a lot about federal issues here, and we've been talking about the sheriff, the guy here in Jefferson County, Sheriff Aubrey, who will not have any opponent, I haven't heard him say anything about defending our rights, defending our 10th Amendment constitutional rights. But if you go back 20 years ago this year, hard to believe it's been 20 years, Sheriff Richard Mack, famously or infamously, depending on your point of view, Sheriff Richard Mack stood up to the federal government and he filed a lawsuit to stop the Brady Bill that had been signed into law recently at that point by good old Slick Willie, President Clinton, and six other sheriffs across the country joined his lawsuit. And guess what happened? Surprise, surprise. Took 3 years, but 3 years later, the Supreme Court, the Black Moo Moos themselves, ruled that the Brady Bill was in fact unconstitutional, and that the federal government could not commandeer state or county offices for federal buildings. Cannot do your own little bidding here. You couldn't commandeer the offices for that purpose. Justice Scalia wrote for the majority saying the federal government may not compel the states to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program. And I think Scalia was right about that. Yeah, exactly. And then 2005 came along, and you had a bill way out in Montana. God bless them up in the somewhat freer state of Montana. Had a bill introduced in their state legislature which required the county sheriff to be notified before any federal agents are allowed to enter into the state with the intention of carrying out law enforcement actions. Think about this for a minute. I know you don't hear about this in the government indoctrination camps called public schools. I know you don't hear this on the fake conservative news networks like Fox News. I know Rush Limbaugh isn't going to tell you about this stuff. But think about this. This bill said that the county sheriff shall be notified before federal agents come in to do their bidding, and that provided not only for a pre-notification, but that the sheriff must also give consent before the agents may proceed. So it's almost like a pre-notification that they're on their way, and then an authorization or an okay by the sheriff. Now that's a piece of legislation I wish they would present in Frankfurt right now with all the ridiculous legislation and bills and amendments that they put out there before Frankfurt, where they're in their full year session right now in the legislature. I wish that that's a bill that they would present to the masses. Half the people up there wouldn't understand it. They would think it was somehow terrorist. But it's constitutional. And it's the way it's supposed to be. See, when Sheriff Mack wrote a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, he wrote, quote, if we are to get America back, if we are indeed to return to the constitutional republic we were meant to be, then it will be up to us, the sheriffs of America, who have the guts and dedication to tell the feds that we will no longer tolerate their intervention, control, meddling, mandates, or criminal behavior. Now, I made a big deal about how hard it was to get in to the county clerk's webpage and how it would be shut down at times and how they wouldn't have all the information up at other times and how they'd take a long time to post things at other times. And it might sound like I'm being a little hard ass on them, but your mainstream media is not going to tell you about a lot of things that are going on in these elections. Many of these candidates, who we'll talk about a little bit more here, maybe at the bottom of the hour break, but many of these candidates who run for election are never going to be given the time of day by the mainstream press. And I wish they would, because we have a right to know about who's running for what. And we have a right to know that, for example, at the top of the ballot, now I talked about one of the things at the bottom of the ballot, the sheriff, and I'll go all the way to the top of the ballot. I think when the very top item on the ballot is the U.S. Senate's race, that people should know that there are currently 9 candidates running in the May primaries for sheriff, or excuse me, Senate. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just tongue-tied tonight. Been a long day. But there are 9 candidates running in May to be your U.S. Senator, currently held for 30 years by one Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. And thankfully, a few people are getting the word out about Matt Bevin, a Louisville businessman, originally from the New England area, originally from the Live Free or Die area of New Hampshire. Matt Bevin finally getting some attention for being in this race. And Mr. Springs and I last night debated the logic as to why all of a sudden 3 more candidates got in this race at the last minute. And we will simultaneously talk about our suspicions of why they're in the race, but also getting out information about their candidacies. We'll vet them. Last night we were just kind of looking over them. It was like sight reading a piece of music. If you've ever been in a band or orchestra, it's the first time you'd seen it. So you didn't understand how to dissect it and how to remove it and where to take a break and where to focus. And that's what we'll do over the next 4 months, because it's pretty much an under 4 month race. It's really a 3.5 month race when you're running in a primary. Your filing deadline this past Tuesday, the 28th of January, and then your election on that late date in May on a Tuesday. We want everybody to be involved, we want everybody to be informed and make intelligent choices. And the mainstream press isn't going to tell you a lot of things, except for there's Mitch McConnell and there's Allison Lundgren Grimes, and I could talk to you about the other candidates in the race. Maybe I'll just name their names because you may have not heard them before tonight. Some of you may have. The Republican primary for U.S. Senate also includes James Bradley Copus, Chris Payne, and Shauna Sterling. The Democrat primary for U.S. Senate, along with the aforementioned Allison Lundgren Grimes, includes Tom Rechtenwald, Greg Lichty, and Bill Charles Farnsley. So There you go. You may never have heard these names before now, and it's our goal to keep you informed. So we'll give you a chance to look over the election filings, and we will go to our bottom of the hour break here shortly. We are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Again, if you want to call in, 858-683-1326. We'll be right back.
Some papa. I learned how to play my guitar. Some people say I'm gonna be a superstar. Smoking that old long cigar. Money.
just wanted to know they couldn't take your place. Give it to me.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We think you can handle the truth. And again, we went into the break there with a little Lynyrd Skynyrd was our writer. And of course, we opened up the show earlier tonight with Sons of Liberty, Don't Tread on Me. And there's so many things that we need to talk about. And I get stuff emailed to me, and it makes me mad as hell sometimes when I read it. Like, I went over to the Drudge Report tonight to see what was above the fold there and what was new, if you will. And what I see there is a supposedly poll, and I'm going to tell you, I'm sight reading this as I bring it across to you, and I think it's pure garbage. But this is a poll by the National Journal, at least they're the one reporting it, where they're claiming that Mitt Romney, yep, the same big love Mitt Romney, who was the failed presidential candidate who got his ass kicked in 2012, they're saying Mitt Romney leads the Republican field for 2016. I know. You're probably about to become physically ill at your stomach when you hear that, and you heard it right. They're claiming that Mitt Romney over at the National Journal is the front runner for 2016. This is the crap that we deal with. And I think to put it in his own recent words, Mitt Romney, oh, no, 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 no. That's what he said when they asked him about running for president again. But that did not stop the quote-unquote bipartisan policy firm, Purple Strategies in Virginia, from adding his name to a recent survey, which shows Romney in the lead with 25% support. Now, this is unusual because right behind him is our own U.S. Senator Rand Paul, our good U.S. Senator. And Krispy Kreme himself, Governor Chris Christie, both supposedly with 18%. So is this going to be Mitt Minim 3.0? Remember, there was recently a Netflix documentary released, and maybe I'll have to watch this if my ridiculously bad cable provider will allow me to get through it on Netflix. I might have to watch this documentary that was recently put out. And if you've heard about it, it was put out about his 08 and 12 presidential campaigns, and it was recently released to the excitement of political insiders everywhere. You know what a lot of them say to me, said a, quote, anonymous operative in the Republican Party, I think we need Mitt back. I think Mitt Romney was even on the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon show recently to slow jam the news. So are we sure he's not running again? People are always going to get out there and say gracious things like, oh, you should run again. And he said he's not running again. We're hoping this is the time he'll tell the truth. It's kind of odd on the timing because they're claiming that second place in this poll behind him are Rand Paul and Chris Christie. And if anything, Romney and Christie are going to pull from each other's votes. Just something to think about. Remember, if you go and watch this documentary called Mitt on Netflix, near the end of the movie, you can hear Mitt Romney stating that in some ways we kind of had to steal the Republican nomination. Our party is Southern, evangelical, and populist. And you're Northern, and you're Mormon, and you're rich. And these do not match well with our party. Well, tell us something we don't know, Mittens. I said this all along. Ron Paul was the most pro-life person on any of those debate stages in 2012 for the presidential nomination. He is an OBGYN, for God's sake. He delivered babies. Ron Paul is about as pro-life as it comes, and they shunned him. Ron Paul was the only Protestant up on those stages running for election. We had otherwise Catholics and Mormons up on that stage, and they shunned him. And, of course, Ron Paul is the only member of that panel of candidates in 2012 who had military experience, and they shunned him. So Dr. Paul was a true patriot, and he was a threat to their establishment. Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd been elected and immediately audited the Federal Reserve? This is why when I've had people come on the show in the last couple of weeks, and our good friend Paul, who's in the chat room of Stop Invisible Taxes, was on here a couple of weeks ago with us, and our good friend Mayo, a regular caller, I asked them both about, would it really have been any different if Mitt Romney had won the presidency? Because I don't think he would have audited and tried to end the Federal Reserve. If Dr. Paul had been elected president, the Fed's dirty little secret would have been revealed and it would have been shut down, causing all kinds of hullabaloo in crony land over there on K Street where the Mitch McConnell types hang out. How Mitch McConnell's got a big mansion over there on K Street. You're much more likely to see him entertaining guests or going to political fundraisers there on K Street than you're ever going to see him in his supposedly hometown here of Louisville, Kentucky. And so you have a lot of people criticize those who refuse to vote, saying that their abstinence is part of the problem. But when the election system is completely rigged, whether it be the party bosses, the conventions where they told us that we were not welcome in their party, even though we were lifelong Republicans, whether it be the Diebold election machines, when the system is that rigged, your vote doesn't matter. Why would you participate in such a sham? So we had the flotsam and jetsam here because I just started talking out about how at the beginning of the show we're going to let you know about the different candidates running because we want you to be an informed electorate. But it does take me back to a state representative's race that we're going to have here in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's a state representative race between one Phil Moffitt and Shelley May. And again, if you don't live around here, let me explain this to you a little bit, what we're dealing with here. In this race in the 32nd District, I'll explain a little inside baseball for those of you all who live outside the district. But Phil Moffitt was the primary gubernatorial candidate here in Kentucky, also from here in Louisville, a Louisville businessman. And he narrowly, very narrowly lost the 2011 Republican nomination for governor. And a lot of people wanted him to run again for governor, but he decided not to. And instead, he's running for state representative in a district in which I used to live. And he wants constitutionally limited government as a state representative. He wants to replace our current job-killing state tax code with a system that attracts companies and encourages job growth. For those of you all in Kentucky, you know that if they hadn't put in, surprise, surprise, the same county clerk I just mentioned, Bobby Holsklaw, as our good friend Ed Springson lovingly calls Bobby Coleslaw, if she had not been put in to run interference in the governor's primary in 2011, I firmly believe, it's not just wild speculation, I firmly believe that Phil Moffitt would have won the primary for governor. And then you would have had a ticket of businessman Phil Moffitt and state legislator Mike Harmon running for governor, lieutenant governor, instead of David Blackjack Williams and Little Richie Farmer. In case you don't know the after story, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, David Williams narrowly escaped that Republican primary for governor with every bit of state and national party money and support behind his ass. He nearly escaped that primary to then get his ass handed to him by Papaw Bashir, who got reelected to governor. Papaw Bashir brought along a very unpopular former mayor for life, Jerry Abramson, as a new running mate with his governor, lieutenant governorship, because he had already read off his previous lieutenant governor. They didn't get along with each other. They didn't even want to be around each other. So you had a brand new lieutenant governor candidate. And they won. They won hands down because the Republican nominees were David Williams, who after the election was appointed judge by the same Papaw Bashir who just defeated him. And oh yeah, his running mate was Richie Farmer. Yeah, the same little corrupt little Richie Farmer who went from his UK basketball glory, quote unquote, to now going to the big house, going to prison for all the corruption and all the craziness that ran amok when he was agriculture commissioner for the state of Kentucky. So again, I bring you back to Phil Moffitt, who was the Tea Party candidate in this race. And I'm just telling you, look at the issues, and you'll see why I want a lot of people to get behind Phil Moffitt. And I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek last night on Ed's show that everybody should open up their wallets and purses and pocketbooks and give the largest donations possible to Phil Moffitt. And I think you can't get any more honest about a candidate, at least honest as far as what they want you to believe, than what they put on their own website. And again, I'm looking at their website side by side. Phil Moffitt says constitutionally limited government, replacing job-killing state tax codes, as I said earlier, with job growth, holding local public school districts accountable, putting teachers back in control of the classroom, and fiscal responsibility. And Phil goes on to say in his race for Kentucky House, go look at it yourselves, folks, MoffittHouse32.com. Phil Moffitt goes on to say, my first obligation to you is protecting your personal liberty by promoting constitutionally limited government. Every time government gets bigger, Phil writes, your personal liberty, your freedom gets smaller. I believe sound public policy should be held above party loyalty. I will review every piece of legislation and regulation throughout this prism, and I pledge to do everything I can to thwart government overreach, thereby protecting individual freedom and liberty for generations to come. If I go over to his opponent's website, I'm looking at them side by side. You can find it at Shelly May, VoteShellyMay.com. She says that she wants to create job and opportunity, but of course she doesn't say anything about our current tax code. She says that health care and quality of life are important to her. And she wants to bring her passion as an advocate for the disabled to the Commonwealth to maximize the quality of life for disabled individuals. And she also says that public safety and the environment are important to her. So again, I'm looking at them side by side, folks. Yes, I'm very biased in this race, and Ed Freeson knows that. Our good friend, Mr. Ed Martin, who also does a show on here Monday nights and Tuesday nights, Mr. Martin would definitely agree with us as well, because Phil Moffitt thanked Mr. Martin for making the largest contribution yet to his campaign. So Phil Moffitt recognized that Ed Martin put his money where his mouth is. So side by side, these are kind of the races we're looking at. A lot of people talk about Matt Bevin versus Mitch McConnell, and this is a microcosm thereof, because you have one candidate who says his goals are constitutionally limited government, holding school systems accountable, and fiscal responsibility. And his opponent says what's important is health care and quality of life and public safety in our environment. Sounds like a juxtaposition of clear, defined constitutional beliefs on one hand versus politicians speak on the other. Again, it's free speech, folks. If you disagree, I would love to get you on the show in a future week and tell me how we're wrong about this. But these are some of the races that we're talking about, because another thing we did not get into last night on the Springsteen show, and we'll be talking about, are all these judicial races that are going to be on the ballot. Here in Kentucky, narrow down here to Louisville, we're going to have our Court of Appeals race. We're going to have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 district judge races. We're going to have at least 7 family court races. And we're going to have at least 3 circuit court races in the area. Now, don't get me started on why everybody has to be a lawyer to be a judge. I don't like that at all. I really wish we could get back to, if you really want to go back in time, why you shouldn't have to be a lawyer to be a judge. Many state judges are elected by population. Obviously, when it comes to the U.S. Supreme Court, anybody can be a judge. But they're proceeding over court hearings, either alone or part of a group. And the people wearing the black muumuus usually start out either in the public defender's office or the prosecutor's office. And our good friend, the aforementioned Mr. Martin, has talked about this himself on the airwaves here about how everything they do is based on our money. The state attorney is paid by our money. The county attorney is paid by our money. The Commonwealth attorney is paid by our money. The law clerks are paid by our money. The bailiff is paid by our money. The jailer is paid by our money. The industrial prison complex is propped up by not only big corporate donations, but our money. The court reporter is paid for by our money. If any interpreters or sign language folks are brought into the courtroom, it's paid for by our money. The jury duty program is paid for our money. Do you see a trend here? Do you see a pattern? The whole system is a farm system going from lawyers into judgeships. working their way up to wearing the black muumuus. We got a few minutes left here on the show, but I do see a phone call from someone who has pressed the number one key and wants to get on the air, so we'll try to take that quickly before time gets away from us. And I believe it's our good friend Paul Holliger from Stop It. Paul, are you with us?
Hey, TNT, how's life in Dale's world tonight?
Life in Dale's world's fine. Typical government regulation and raping us with the taxes. But other than that, we're getting along. Did you want to talk about the black muumuus or something otherwise off the board, Paul?
No, I wanted to take a phrase that you just mentioned, and I actually want to take minor issue with it. You made an assertion just a few moments ago that they're taking our money,
right.
to engage in all kinds of nefarious behavior.
Right.
Dale, I'm not so sure that they view it as our money.
Oh, I'm sure
okay.
they don't.
I bet that they actually look at it as their money, and they're just engaged in a big game in Monopoly, and we're nothing more than set to be used and abused and, you know, discarded when our usefulness ceases to exist.
I'm sure you're right, Paul.
And of course, since both the Republicans and the Democrats at the national level lean heavily toward a socialistic point of view, I'm sure that they just don't have any respect for those of us that are out there doing the work, because we're nothing more than, and this is what I learned in business school a long time ago, we're nothing more than a factor of production.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the ruling elite.
Yeah.
And the ruling elite, I like to refer to these days as the predator class.
Yeah.
The predator class. And they're certainly the exploitative class as well. So, again, and that's the only point I want to make. I just don't think that the powers that be consider our money to be our money. I think they're simply saying, we're going to loan it to you, let you use it for a little while, and then we're going to find ways to take it away from you.
Well, they don't want you to use it at all, I mean, unless you're popping up their government bloated system. Now, I think you're right, Paul. I thought you were going to say that you disagree with me that it was our money. But, see, I've stopped saying on the airwaves that we pay these taxes, because especially in the terms of payroll taxes, the ones that come out of our paychecks, I now say that they take these taxes from us. I don't say we pay them, because if I go out to dinner tonight, I'm going to pay for something, and I'm going to get something in return for it. And a lot of these big government backers say we're getting something in return for it. I don't think we are, because every time we're told about all these rules and regulations that they put upon us, I did not agree to these said regulations. So it's one thing if I go out and pay for something and receive an adequate service that I believe is reasonable for the price, but I don't think we pay taxes when our payroll is deducted, because they don't go door-to-door asking for that money, Paul. Or if they went door-to-door asking for the money instead of just taking it out before we see anything at the threat of a gun, if they had to go door-to-door to get it, then that revolution that you talk about a lot, Paul, would have already started, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would have. And on that, in that same vein, I don't know if all of your listeners know about this, but some time ago, about a year ago, I actually saw a YouTube video in which Senator Harry Reid was caught on video, and it was like a 2 or 3 minute video, so you could actually see the context in which he made this statement. But Harry Reid, in essence, he actually said, income taxes are voluntary. They're voluntary. And I think for folks that dig into that somewhat deeper than the average person, you can find a lot of information in the government rules and regs, and if you know how to play their game, you can actually find reasons to make sure that the income tax stays voluntary. And I'll give you a good example of that. Okay.
Yep.
The Internal Revenue Service demands that we sign their documents that they print, that they furnish, that we report information to them on, and that we sign it under penalty of perjury. Okay. Now, Dale, that's coercion.
Of course.
And in law enforcement, a coerced statement is not admissible. It's not admissible because it was made under duress. Therefore, how on earth can people out in your listening audience sign their forms voluntarily, whereby they actually invite the government to come visit them. Why do we do that? I mean, that's insane. Why do we cooperate in that way? It's like a the thing I posted, the link in the chat room.
Yeah.
There was that particular link I just discovered yesterday. I love it dearly because it actually is a chart and proper responses on how to deal with a cop when you have an encounter with a cop, using not just somebody's opinion, but facts of law and court cases. So, and I've seen this all over the place. So I really think that the resistance needs to be ramped up. I don't know if we're going to get a revolution right away. I think the resistance needs to be ramped up. And those listeners in your audience, I think that they can resist in meaningful and legal ways and create issues for the power structure.
No, I don't disagree.
But that's the only
at
way
all.
The power structure is – yeah, the power structure is not – they're not going to change the way they do what they do unless somebody smacks them right in between the eyes.
No, you're 100% right, Paul. That's a good way to end the show on that. I appreciate you making that comment, our good friend Paul. You're stopping. And the direct and simple but harmful and hurtful to admit answer to Paul's question is, why do we do it? Because we're scared not to. Because I don't know anybody. Now, I'm sure you can find some elitist, some bohemians who think they should pay taxes. But you know what? They can always pay more. No one will ever stop them from adding extra. When the income tax forms come along in the next month or two, and that's all you hear about is the phony tax refunds, they can always pay extra. But people pay it not because they want to, not because they think they should, and not because they think it's the law, even though 101 years ago it was illegally forced on us. They pay it because they're scared not to. It kind of reminds me of an extensive nationwide research project that William J. Benson did on the 16th Amendment, discovering that it was not ratified by the requisite three-fourths of the states. And nevertheless, Secretary of State Philander Knox fraudulently declared it ratified. This happened 101 years ago. And look it up, folks. You'll find out that Kentucky Senate voted no on the resolution, rejected by a vote of 9 in favor and 22 opposed. But yet they claim Kentucky is one of the states that ratified this to the Constitution. Paul brings up very good points. How long are people going to put up with it? Is it going to be ratcheted up as far as the resistance? Is it going to lead to something more than a resistance? If you know the income tax is unconstitutional, why do you pay it? I brought up a point to a good friend of mine out on the social network recently about what we call travel activism, people who pay all these big fines for driving a car without a license. And you and I have heard on the airwaves here how I've talked about all the different taxes you pay to drive your car, and people do it because they're afraid not to. People do it because it's easier than going to court and demanding a jury of your peers in states that allow that. It's easier to just pay the fine, kind of like the new Obamacare, where people are just going to pay the fine to try to avoid the government regulation. This is why we talk about elections here. This is why we talk about elections being stolen. This is why we talk about elections being processed, elections needing your involvement as an intellectual, informed voter. We hope that you will get involved. We hope that you'll research this stuff on your own and come back and listen to us. We're here 5 days a week. Sunday night on this airwave is Ken Moman and Liberty Unbridled, the Ed Springsteen Show Monday through Wednesday, and we're back here on Thursday nights with the TNT Radio Show. You're going to either stand up for the people, other people by the people, or you're going to bend over and give in to the New World Order. The choice is yours.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.